Job chapter 23. If I could preach tonight for just a little while on our struggles tonight. Job chapter 23. I think all of us have struggles in this life, and sometimes they get a little harder than what we know what to do with. Sometimes, you ever heard somebody say this? You ask them how they're doing, and they'll say, I'm too blessed to be depressed. And that's a good thing to say, but I'm going to be honest with you. There's some days that just don't help. I'm just being honest tonight. There's times that the rug gets jerked out from under you. Yes, we are blessed. I thought about that sitting in my study last night as I was looking over this morning's message. I thought about how blessed I really am. But sometimes that does not enter in to how I feel sometimes, and that does not enter into the struggles that I'm going through at that time. But I want us to both understand tonight there is somebody to help us in the midst of our struggles. I'm glad there's somebody that we can call on and that we can run to that Brother Lewis sung both them songs about tonight. I was reminded as he sang that last song, God Walks the Dark Hills. That was a Happy Goodman family song. And I believe that Miss Vestal sung that song for years. And the song that my wife sung this morning, that one that What Heaven Means to Me, we learned that entirely from somebody else. We didn't learn it from the Happy Goodman family. And then come to find out that they'd been singing that song probably since the mid-50s, into the 60s. We learned that Miss Vestal would sing that song. And you know those old songs, let me say this before I get started tonight. Those old songs tonight still mean something and still work tonight. Amen. And boy, I'm thankful for that. But let's stand tonight in the book of Job, chapter 23. Job chapter 23 tonight. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Job 23, begin to read with me in verse 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. You realize how he said that? He said that with an exclamation point at the end of that sentence. And he said that I might even come, that I might come even to his seat. He just was not making a statement, but he was making a statement of exclamation and saying, oh, if I could just get there. He said, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? And then he answers his own question. He said, no, but he would put strength in me. And there the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. You can be seated tonight. Job is in a time, and I've preached this chapter before over the years, especially when we get over to verses 8 and 9. But as I look at these verses and I'm reminded of them tonight and read them, I look to see what he says. And this is right in the middle of Job's argument and that with his three friends. And I really wouldn't want to call them my friends. I mean, they're just in a time of, you know, he called them miserable comforters. And Job is just making his argument with them and trying to make his argument and that before God. And we realize and we know what's taking place. We know that he's lost his finances. We know everything that Job owned is gone. We understand that Job has lost his family. All 10 children are dead. He's had 10 funerals. He's buried his children. His wife's come out there in chapter 2 and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" So she's basically bailed out on him. His three friends come by and made an appointment to come and comfort him. But all they done was accuse him. Job has lost his health. And he's sitting under in the dust and ashes. And I always imagine Job sitting under a big oak tree somewhere. I don't know if that's true or not. But I know he's in the dust and ashes. And he's took broken pottery. And he's scraping himself to let those boils that are upon his skin run out and ooze out. And it's from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. If there's ever been a man that struggled, you're looking at him. Job is a man that has had struggles. You reckon he made that statement, "I'm too blessed to be depressed"? I'd say not, friend. I'll be honest with you, if you go through and look at Job's life, I'm telling you, especially the beginning of all this mess that took place, he wished he had never been born. That's the kind of day that Job and days that Job was having. I believe it was in chapter 19 that he talks about how everybody had forsook him and left him, and nobody was left, and that to care for him in the midst of his struggles. And here in chapter 23, he said, "If I could just come to God." Why is it in the midst of our struggles and our trials that it seems like God hides his face sometimes? Now, if you've never been there, bless your heart, and I hope you've never been there, but I'm going to be honest with you. There are times that it's like heaven becomes its brace, and it seems like you can't get a prayer through, and you're in the midst of a struggle, and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to, you don't even know what direction to go next, if there's a direction, but here Job is. And in verse 2, he said, "Even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning." He said, "I'm in a bad spot right here." He said, "My complaint is bitter." Listen, he had plenty and that to complain about. Hey, it's one thing when me and you and that are struggling and having problems. And I understand. Listen, what was it in the book of Job in verse in chapter 14? A man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I understand that today. But I'm telling you tonight that there are some times in our life that comes along when it looks like that we're in the midst of a struggle and trial and God ain't nowhere around. Now, it appears that way. We get it in our mind sometimes, and the devil jumps up on our shoulder, and we see that in the book of Psalms, chapter 42. You've heard me preach all this before. This is nothing new. But in Psalms chapter 42, what was it? David is looking for the Lord. And what does he say? He said, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" Boy, I'm telling you, the enemy's going to jump up on your shoulder sometimes, and he's going to tell you God ain't real. None of this stuff is worth doing. I see what serving God got you and brought you. Hey, I'm telling you right now, serving God, if it's in the midst of troubles and trials and heaven is shut up, is still far better than serving the devil any day. Amen. But then Job said in verse 3, he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Whew. He said that I might come even to his seat. I sometimes try to put myself in Job's place and try to wrap my mind, and there's no way that I can do that. There's no way that I can even begin to wrap my mind around everything Job is going through. But on top of that, he thinks God has deserted him. He thinks God has left him. His friends have come in and they've accused him of sinning. And so that's why you're in the shape that you're in, Job. That's why you're in the mess that you're in, is because of sin. He said, but if I could just get to him. Boy, how many times have we just wanted to run to him? And boy, I am very thankful for the promise out of the book of Hebrews over there, that he tells us that we can come to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Boy, I'm glad you can run to an altar somewhere. And I understand things are a little different today than they were in Job's day. And listen, there's one at the right hand of the Father ever to make intercession for us. I understand that. But I'm telling you, there's just times that in struggles, you know, when things are going good, we don't think the Lord has deserted us, do we? I mean, when everything is going good, everybody's healthy, the kids are healthy, we think everything's all right. The bills are paid and vehicles are running and air conditioner's running at the house. And boy, everything just seems to be okay. But Job said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." In the midst of his struggle, he can't find the Lord. And he said, if I could just get to where he is, if I could get to the point where I could just tell him some things. In verse 4, he said, I would just order my cause before him. He said, I'd just tell him all about it. That's basically what he's saying. He's saying, if I could just get to where he is, I would say, can't you see what's going on in my life? Can't you see what's happening? And he said, I would fill my mouth with arguments. And he said, I would just not necessarily argue with the Lord, but he would just plead his cause and tell God why he shouldn't be in the mess that he's in. How many of us feel that way sometimes, that we shouldn't be dealing with what we're dealing with? I believe it was the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he prayed to the Lord for the messenger of Satan that come by to buffet on him. You realize that if you're going to serve Christ, the messenger of Satan's going to come by and beat on you. You realize that, don't you, tonight? Listen, he's going to buffet you. That means to strike you and hit on you. And listen, Job's in the same fact. He's in the same place. I really believe as the Apostle Paul was. I mean, Satan was just wearing him out. How do you know that? Look at chapter 1 and chapter 2. We know that it was Satan doing this. God allowed it, but Satan was bringing it on. God told him, said, you can go take, he said, look, you can take everything from him. But just don't take his life. At one point, was it James that talks about the patience of Job? Ain't that something? We've all heard of the patience of Job, he says. And here he is. And you know what Paul told us in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12? The Lord told him, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, that is the one good thing that I really believe that we have that Job may not have had. Now, I know the Holy Spirit was real, and the Holy Spirit was real during this time, but he worked different during this time than he works today. He resides in the believers today. The Holy Spirit's in you if you're saved today. And he does bring comfort and help when you need it. And even the book of Romans, Paul told us, even when we don't know how to pray, he intercedes for us.
You know what that tells me? That there's going to be times in my life that I'm not even going to know how to pray and pray right because of what's going on, but the Holy Spirit will know what to do. Ain't that something tonight? Thank God for that. He said, if I could just order my cause in the midst of my struggle, if I, in the midst of everything has fell apart around me. I look across the house, I don't think everything's fell apart with any of us tonight. Not like it did for Job. But he said, I know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. He said, boy, if I could plead my cause and get to heaven in my struggles, I know he'd answer me. How many of us have ever wondered why something happened like it happened? Mitchell Gallion, he always loved those verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. When the Bible talks about over there, what was it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to all thine understanding. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know why he loved them verses so much? It was because when Miss Michelle had passed away, He tried to figure that stuff out. He tried to figure it out. And he said, there just come a day that I realized I wasn't going to figure that out. Why God done what he done. And he said, all I had was Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. To lean not to mine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Job is in a place to where he can't understand what's going on in his struggles. But he said, if I could get to the Lord, I know the Lord would answer me. He said, and I know the words that he would tell me. He said, listen, Job just really wanted to know what happened. In verse 5, you know, in verses 4, he said, I talked to the Lord, and he said, I'd plead my case. In verse 5, he said, God would answer me. If I could just get to him. He said, will he plead his case? Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. How many times have we ever just needed the strength of the Lord? Not only would he tell me why what's happened has happened, but he would put strength in me. How many times has the battle wore you out and beat you down, and the struggle it's been a daily struggle. And listen, I'll be honest with you, with the days that we're living in now, we're in the last days. We're in the last. Why do you think that the writer of the book of Hebrews, when it talks about to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but he said exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why do you think he told us not only not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but he said, why do you think that he told us to exhort one another? Listen, he knew what that last days and the end times was going to be like. Boy, do we not need exhortation? That means an edification, to be built up, to be encouraged, to go. Some of you all can think back to a time in your life. The struggle is not hard right now for you, but you can think back to a time when it really was. You can think back to when the struggle was really real and it was really a problem. And some of y'all remember a time when you really wondered if God was really going to show up and do anything. He said, there the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. He said, if I could just get to him. And then some of my most favorite scriptures found in verses 8 and 9. You say, well, what's so favorite about that, preacher? He said, I go forward and he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work. I got a message I preach on that. Some of y'all might remember that message that I preach on seeing the Lord's work. How many of us have ever seen God doing something for somebody else? But he's not been doing it for us. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But you see, the great thing that I love about this verse is verse 10. Verses 8, 9, and 10. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. See, we don't know what God's up to. In our struggles and in our aggravation and in our problems and everything that's going on and in our buffeting and in having to face Satan and all these things, we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand where God's at sometimes or why what's happening is happening. But verse 10, he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. You know, God's ever watching us. He's ever looking down from heaven and has his eye upon you. You know, there's not a sparrow that'll fall from heaven out there that the Heavenly Father don't see. Now, ain't that amazing? There ain't a sparrow out there that's flying in the air today all over this world that does not fall, that does fall, and God will always see it. And so the Lord then makes a statement. Are you not much more value than the fowl there? He said, if God sees that sparrow fall, is he not going to see you? So Job, in his struggles and in his troubles and in his problems, he still knew something about the Lord right here, that God was watching him. But he knoweth the way that I take. Oh, he looked down from heaven and he sees you tonight. Troubles and all and struggles and all and problems and all and lack of faith and all and wondering where he is. He sees every bit of that tonight. But then Job makes a statement in the rest of verse 10. He says, when he hath tried me. So now we find that I think Job has come to a point right here that he realizes that this just might be a trial, that God is trying to do something in his life. Because you notice what he said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When the heat gets applied, I'm going to come forth just like gold. When the problem is at the end and the trouble is over with and the struggle's done, I'm going to be just as good as gold that's been put in the furnace. You know, to get purity out of our lives tonight, there's got to be heat applied. And Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, well, let's just go over and read that. I want to get it quoted right. Second Corinthians chapter 12. He said, for this thing, in verse 8, he said, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for looky here, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Ain't that amazing? God's strength shines the best in our life when we're at our weakest point. That don't make no sense to me. Not in my flesh. Who wants to be weak in their flesh? I'm being honest tonight. How many of us really want to be in a vulnerability spot? How many of us want to have troubles and trials? How many of us want to have to face Satan? How many of us want to be beat on? How many of us just want to be in the place that the Apostle Paul was or that Job was? But he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul said this, most gladly therefore I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities in persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when am I weak? For when I am weak, then am I strong. He said, when I am at my weakest for me, I'm at my strongest for the Lord. So Job said in verse 10, when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Then Job says right here in verse 11, he said, I'm going to be faithful.
He said, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Job could not, seemed like he could not talk to heaven. It seemed as though that God had deserted him. It seemed as though as when God was working for somebody else, he was not working for Job. And Job was struggling more than any man really had ever struggled, probably in the whole world. I know that's a pretty big statement. I get that. But again, Job's lost everything that he had. 10 children, lost his wife, lost his family, lost his friends, lost everything. They were even making up songs about Job and singing against him. The kids were. I mean, read the book. I mean, they were making fun of Job. In his trial and his tribulation, they were poking fun at him. Imagine that. Imagine this for just a second. You're in the greatest trial and tribulation of your whole life, and even when you come to church, people shun you. Think about that for just a second. You're talking about struggling. I always wondered why God made this the first book that was ever written. You realize Job is the oldest book in the Bible. That's what they told us, you know, taught us in school. That Job was the oldest book in the Bible. But he said, I'm going to remain faithful. He said, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, man, it's all about his word. It's all about his word. You know, when we don't have anything else, we still got his book, don't we? We still got the promises of God. We've still got this book in front of us that we can open up and we can read and we can listen. Yeah, I've got an app on my phone, and sometimes I'm so lazy. I'm so lazy sometimes that thing will actually, it's got Alexander Scoresby on it. And I can punch in which chapter I want to be read and hit play, and that thing will read it to me. Amen. It does. Alexander Scoresby's reading me the book. And I'll sit there and I'll listen to that thing. And sometimes I'm just lazy. But I want to put that in my mind. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Even if you're listening to it, it's still good. Amen. So he said, here's what I've done. He said, look, he said, yeah, I can't get in touch with God. I've struggled in my trouble and my trials, and I can't get there. But here's something that I'm not going to forsake God. I've been faithful. He said, listen, I may not understand some things, and I know that I'm in a trial. And I know when this trial's done, I'm going to come forth as gold. Why? Because I've trusted him, and I'm going to remain faithful to him. And he said, I'm not going to go back on him. And here's the thing. Was it at one place that Job tells us over there? He says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Job said, God's going to kill me with what I'm going through, but I'm going to trust him. He says, no matter what happens, I'm putting my faith and trust in the Lord. He comes down in verse 16 right here, and I'm going to close. He said, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. You know, it is God that does tender up our heart sometimes. And he works on our heart. And I remember a time when I was just a young Christian, I had such a tender heart. And then as I got a little older, my heart's got a little harder and a little harder. And you know, God has a way of softening us back up again, don't he? And sometimes it's through problems and trouble to give us that soft heart again where God can deal with it and talk to us. You get over in Job chapter 42, and that's where I want to go. The thing about Job, in verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, now what's happened here? After his three friends come by, and you had another fella that sat in there and boy just rebuked them both. I mean, he just wore them both out. Wore out his friends because they accused Job unjustly, and he got on Job's case because Job was over here upholding himself when he should have been praising the Lord. The Bible tells us that somewhere in the 30 chapters over there, I think. But then Job, when we get to chapter 42, somewhere along that line in there in the 31, 32, 33, I'd have to go look at it. But somewhere God begins to talk to Job. The one thing Job wanted, Job got. God began to talk to him. And boy, you know, Brother Jeff, he mentioned Job, I believe it was this morning in Sunday school, you know, about Job. And all, you know, when God asked him, said, Job, was you here when I laid the foundations of the world? You know, was you around to give me wisdom and tell me how to do all these things that I've done? Was you here during that time? But then in chapter 42, verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything that no thought can be withholden from thee. That's scary, ain't it? Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. You know, Job just got himself to a place of repentance where he got right with the Lord. Wasn't that Job had done any wicked sin, but Job had not justified the Lord in all that stuff. I believe it's what that fella said. He got on Job's case because Job justified himself more than he justified God. You know, when we get in our struggles and our trials and our problems, we want to blame God. And we ought to just justify the Lord. Say, I don't know why what's happened has happened. And listen, I'm not wanting no struggle tomorrow. No more than what I'm in now. I don't want any more than what I've got on my plate right now. I'm saying this, that He knows what He's doing. He knows exactly what He's up to. So in verse 7, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken to me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. You know, the Bible calls very few people, the Lord does, His servant. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken to me the thing which is right like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar and Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now you catch all that right there? Those boys had to take them sacrifices to Job. Job made the sacrifice and prayed for him, and it's when Job prayed for him that God turned his captivity. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I'm sure glad that Job had to go through all that and not us. What do you mean you're glad? Man, I wouldn't want to deal with everything that Job had to deal with. I don't understand how he held it together. And by the way, he almost didn't hold it together. But he did not want to give up on the Lord. Just go back and read the whole book sometimes. There was one thing that held him together more than anything, and that was his trust in the Lord. What holds us together more than anything tonight? Our trust in the Lord and our trust in His book and our faith in Him that, listen, He's not going to forsake us and leave us, but that He's going to see us through. Yeah, it gets stormy and it gets problematic and it gets troublesome
And there are struggles that we go through. But I'm glad He's always faithful. Let's bow our heads tonight.